Blog Talk Radio. many praise God today? Amen. How many just thank God for just being in the land of the living? That's enough to praise him right there. Amen. Praise, William Murphy say, praise is what I do. Truly, we thank God for another opportunity. I don't know about you, but I have a song down in my spirit. Amen. And it is just another day that the Lord has kept me. Amen. If I was able to sing that song, I would say, if I can't do nothing, hallelujah, I'll just wave my hand. Hey, how many just feel like waving your hand to the Lord right now? Ah, glory to God. Wave your hand. If you can't say a word, just wave your hand. Ah, just a wave of your hand. You telling the Lord thank you. Huh? You telling the Lord how much you love him. Huh? You telling him how much you thank him. Hey, you little Messiah. Hallelujah. Just wave your hand to the Lord. He knows everything. He knows what you're going through. Huh? Hallelujah. He knows every smile that you put on your face. Huh? Hallelujah. God knows all about it. Hey, glory to God. Hallelujah. I was reading this morning, just before we came on the broadcast, and I wanted to open up with this scripture. Hey, Messiah. Hallelujah. And I was just reading this, Pastor, our life coach, Pastor Hamilton. We're just so happy. We thank God for him on today. Hallelujah. But I was just reading. Hey, glory to God. You ain't going to take my thoughts from me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Messiah. I was just reading in 1 Peter. Hey, hallelujah. I was reading. I feel like reading that whole chapter. But for the sake of time, I'm not. But I just was reading this, and I'm going to start at verse 12, and I'm going to read on down to 19. It said, beloved, think of not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happening to you. But rejoice, listen at what Peter said, but rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. How many being reproached for the name of Christ and we're happy about it? For the spirit of glory and of God rested upon you. Listen to that. On their part, he is evil spoken of. But on your part, he is glorified. Christ is glorified on our part. It said, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matter. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. I preached that message about 3 weeks. I'm not ashamed of this gospel, but let him be glorified of God on this behalf. For the time has come, people of God, that judgment must begin at the house of God. I was reading this morning, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. I give God glory today for that.
Absolutely.
Where in the world will we stay? If the righteous scarcely make it, it's time for us to take a stand, Pastor Hamilton. Hallelujah. We thank you. And glory to God, I feel this thing. I don't know about you all. Praise down in my spirit. See, when I think on where he brought me from, what he's done for me, that alone stir up something in the inside of me. Oh, I feel it in my belly today. Hallelujah. We're here today for Provoke Friday. I want to provoke somebody to praise God. I want to provoke somebody to stir up your pure today. Ah, but we have our life coach here with us, and we're just so happy. We thank God for this man of God. We don't have anything to pay him, but God is a rewarder. God is going to reward you, Pastor Hamilton, for every sacrifice that you make in the name of the kingdom, in the name of his dear son. Ah, we bless the Lord today. Welcome to Provoke Friday. Amen. We thank God for our life coach, Pastor Hamilton, being with us. And we're not going to get into anything but this word on today, because we want to give him ample enough time to say what does say the Lord. Tell somebody about these Provoke Fridays. Just don't come on here for yourself. Share it with, I know somebody in your family. I know somebody in your neighborhood. I know somebody on your job needs to be provoked how to live holy, needs to be provoked how to call on Jesus. Hallelujah. So invite somebody to come. He's making a sacrifice to come on and teach us on Fridays, and we should be glad about it. It should excite us to invite somebody else. I've sent out about 50 mass texts today, and I tell people, I give out my cards everywhere I go. Hallelujah. Give out a flyer. Tell them, hey, if you ain't getting no word at your home church, come on this line. You're going to hear something to encourage you, something to inspire you, something to provoke you to purpose and destiny.
Hallelujah.
So with no further ado, we like to present to some and introduce our life coach and our pastor, Pastor E, Pastor Edward Hamilton from Provoke the Purpose Ministry in Houston, Texas. We love you, Pastor Hamilton. God bless you today.
Thank you so much. Greetings, family, and how are you? You know, this is something that God has always done to me, and I just want to encourage everybody today that if you have not been told that you are loved and appreciated, then I want you to know that you are loved and appreciated, highly esteemed and favored in the name above all names, and that is Jesus. We welcome you today. We fellowship with you, and I just want to come back together into our group. I want to come back in together under our Provoke standards of accountability and of commitment to giving our focused attention to God, that we may today, right now, immediately hear a word, see the word, so we can do the word. When? Now. When? Now. When? Now. Immediately. You know, God is looking for us. You know, we talked about in the first week, and I'm excited about this. And family, don't ever worry about my time being dedicated to this service. This is God appointed, God anointed, and I'll be taken care of under those standards through the Holy Spirit and through the provisions of God in my life. So don't even sweat it again. If God speaks to your heart and tells you to bless this ministry, a new destiny ministry, I encourage you to follow the instructions of the Holy Spirit. But there is no cost for this. This is a free will gift of God. But do not ever ignore when God inspires you to sow into good ground. May receive a plentiful harvest. And family, this is another app I like to share with everybody. If you're trying to increase your harvest of your relationship with God, it starts with the seed you sow and where you sow the seed. So we can have a good seed, but if we're not particular and smart enough, you know, remember last week we talked about recognizing, identifying, organizing in our conscious mind, being able to act when God said act. In everything we do in life, we have to take these principles. If you look at the ground that you're sowing in, and this doesn't have rocks, and it's not thorned up, and it's fertile, you better understand, baby, it's guaranteed you're going to get a harvest. So if you're not getting a harvest today, app number one today on Provoke Fridays, look at the ground you're sowing in and make sure that it is anointed of God, and it is harvesting plentiful blessings in your life. Amen? Amen. So we're going to start off with a quick prayer. We're just going to thank the Lord for another opportunity to worship him today. We're just going to thank him for another opportunity to stand before him, his family, his anointed ones, and be given the opportunity to share the word that has been deposited in me. that it could come out of me, that it may go into you, that you could go and get and let it become a part of you to go out into the community. So, Heavenly Father God, we thank you today, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us the motivation to come today and stand before you. Lord, we thank you that you have given us the accountability to come to you with a focused attention. Lord, we thank you today, Lord, that you are watching every move, every note, every word that is being shared and discussed right here today, that it is according to your word, and that it will not return to you void and neither us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that your word goes forth and it is powerful. That, Lord, we thank you that your word goes forth and it is productive. Lord, we thank you that your word, when it goes forth as you have called it to be, that, Lord, it will be powerful, changeable, and it will bring results. Mighty results of you. So we thank you today, Lord, and most of all, we just decrease. Lord, we just say the less of us and more of you. If everybody can say, just say that with me. Everybody listening, just let's just get into that together. Less of us, more
less
of you.
And more less, of you.
And more of you.
Less
of us and more of you. We commit to you right now in the name of your son, Jesus, and all in agreement said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, this has been an exciting week. God is moving in our lives in a mighty way, and we're excited to see how God is exploding his ministry that he's given us an opportunity just to be a part of, and we're excited. We're also excited that God has brought together this fellowship of provokers, of those of us that we're going to call ourselves the anyone crowd. All of us are in Christ Jesus.
All right.
All of us, old ways have been passed behind us. They've become again. And now we're becoming transformed through our thinking because we're making a conscious choice to follow him. Now, we talked about last week, we got off a little bit of our teaching of changing the way you think. We ended up in it, but we began last week talking about our trust in him. That when we trust in the Lord with all our heart, and when we lean not on our own understanding, and when we acknowledge him in all the things we do, God will promise come through for us. Amen? So I'm excited that we were able to touch into that. And remember, we developed a touchstone. A touchstone is what? It's a remembrance of God's goodness. A touchstone could be basically anything. But in our relationship with God, we want to build touchstones that will continually, I'm going to say that one more time, continually remind us of what he's done in our lives. So we don't have to reach so far back to worship him. That we don't have to look for our praise worship leaders to motivate us to raise our hands and to give God praise. See, touchstones, that gives us the opportunity to motivate ourselves. See, as we talked about last week also, this journey, this war, and this relationship with God has to become personal. It has to become one-on-one. We have to start working on us first before we can go out and make disciples. We have to work on us first, and we have to get our purpose in order. We have to get motivated and excited and energetic about doing the work of God the way he's called it for us to do. And then we can go forward, and we can begin new ministries. We can go forward in making more disciples. We can go forward with new revivals and new seminars. But first, we must take care of us first. It must become personal. So I agree, and I'm in agreement now that everybody here is willing to take the chance on God. I'm in agreement, and I truly believe that everyone here listening to my voice right now has made a conscious decision to say enough is enough. I truly believe that all that are here today that said, you know, I am sick and tired of being sick and tired even though I go to church every Sunday. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired even though I have a prayer life. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, but I need results in my life today. That's where we're at, and I'm excited that I'm a part of this because not only is this going to encourage you, to encourage constantly. Every word that the Lord has brought to provoke to purpose, as God speaks it, it continually reminds me. It's my touchstone of God's goodness in my life. So as we go forward, we talked about changing and renewing our mind. It's constant. We talked about trust. It's constant. We talked about a war between the conscious and the subconscious mind. It's constant. See, the one thing that we will continue to emphasize on is that this battle will continue to go on until we're received into heaven's glory. You won't get to a status of being a minister, pastor, evangelist, bishop, pope, or whatever titles we throw out there and exclude yourself from the purpose of going through. You will not be excluded from trials and tribulations. You will not be excluded from the enemy trying to come against you and take you off your game. As a matter of fact, I would encourage those that are ready really to get their purpose, get ready, baby, because the battle's coming. That's why I was sharing with a friend of mine the other day that, you know, I've developed a mindset where I'd rather go take the battle to him. That way I don't have to worry about the attacks anymore. That way I don't have to worry about am I protected. No, I know I am fully girded up. I am fully armored up, and I am fully protected by the anointing and the Spirit of God that I could go forth and pick a fight with the enemy. Now I know that he understands I'm not to be dealt with, played with. Excuse me. You know, we wonder. You know, can I ever be without temptation? Can I ever be without? No, you can't. But you can stand on the word and the promises of God and not be affected by those circumstances. Just because the circumstances before you does not mean that you're attacked or that it has had any kind of influence on your life. But when you allow a circumstance, or we allow a circumstance, a person, a experience to come into our spirit, it will affect us and change the way we think. So when we renew our thinking, we must make it a constant effort to keep our mind on who? Christ. When we go through a circumstance, when a circumstance comes up, we habitually pick up our cross daily and follow him. When our children just aren't doing what we know they're supposed to do, we stand on the promises of God and rely on the word that we have sown into their lives, which will come to pass and will come to fruition. It shall be done. And that's what is so exciting about God's word. That's what's so exciting about being provoked, is that it shall be done. When you activate, when you motivate, and when you do what God has called us to do. So we're in a point of understanding that this fight will continue. We must understand also that our decisions must lead, our choices must lead to our potential in God being in his perfect will for our Christ purpose life. The word of God says, now this is the word of God, this isn't Pastor Ed, but it says in Proverbs 16:3 that we are to commit some of our ways to the Lord. My glasses are a little foggy. That we are to commit our Sunday ways to the Lord. No, the word of God says that we are to commit all our ways to the Lord, and our thoughts will be established. So when we purposely start to develop a Christian walk through our thinking, and now through our embrace of not our character, but of the character of God, we have to start to now understanding that when we read the word of God, we do what? We hear it. We see it on the inside through prayer and supplication, that now we can do it on the outside in the excellence and in the service of God. That's what it means by being holy and acceptable. That means that everything we do it in the holiness and the acceptableness of Christ. So our standards must rise. Say that with me. My standards must rise. when we commit all our ways unto the Lord, you don't have to worry about sticky thinking anymore. Because it says that when you commit all your ways to the Lord, your thoughts will be established. That's when Hebrews comes to life and he will write his laws in your mind and put them on your heart. That's where the word comes to life. And that's where the word will be good, will start to form what I have been taught as the BTFs. Write that down if you can. BTFs. BTFs are your beliefs, your thoughts, and your feelings. I'm going to say that again. Your BTFs are your beliefs. We all have a belief. Your thoughts. We all think, and our feelings. You can pinch yourself right now. What do you feel? You're feeling. So we all have these standards of beliefs, thoughts, and feelings. But the reason why most of us are being led by the world is because our beliefs and our thoughts and our feelings are from the world. They are not of God. We have, you remember we talked about last week that we have too many choices. Many options. We have too many different ways of doing things. But God's word stays the same. It says that he's what? The same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So if his word stays the same, we shouldn't change it any. We should just follow it and let these principles become a part of us that while we can now develop beliefs that are solely built on God. Our thoughts, because we've committed all of our ways to him, will be established by who? By him. And now our feelings will be formed because we have strong beliefs and strong thoughts of God. So now our feelings will become influenced on what we believe. Remember in week one, I said, if you believe you're crazy, what would you become? If you believe you're stupid, what would you become? If you believe you're fat, even though you're just 5 pounds overweight, you will be fat. Because whatever your mind embraces as truth, you shall become exactly that. When we embrace something as truth, when we embrace someone as I love you, when we embrace, I don't care how bad they are, I hope if you're in this situation, you get yourself out of this situation. But families have been telling us for years that he wasn't no good for us. There's been ministers and people in our lives telling us for years that she's no good for me. But because we have embraced them as truth, we have embraced them as I love you, it has now become a part of me. So I don't care how many times you tell me that she's no good for me, my belief tells me that I love her. Now my thoughts will be established that I'm in love with her, and then my feelings will follow with what? Actions of love. So when we become provoked, when we want to find our purpose, we got to understand that as we become Christ-like, as we become those that accept the mind of Christ in us, not just on us, because, you know, I look at it like this. When you put a Bible on your dashboard and you just ride around with it, that's my illustration of God on you. If you go to church and you don't even have a Bible, but you put a Jesus pin on your shirt every time or you're on your jacket, that's another illustration of Jesus on you. See, I could put a big medallion on with a cross that says I love Jesus. But when I take it off, I'm at the club. And when I take it off, I'm down there and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. See, my beliefs and my thoughts and my feelings still drive and motivate my actions. But when we accept the fact that enough is enough and I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, we now must understand that it's time to commit all my ways to him. I ask you to please establish my thoughts so I can become a godly thinker, a godly believer who will feel what? Godly. And when you feel godly, you'll be godly. As we begin to explore our beliefs, our thoughts, and our feelings, we must accept the fact that it comes from our character. And our character comes from our habits. See, when you get used to doing something over and over and over again, whether good or not so good, it's a habit. When you now develop a habit that you do every day, I guarantee you all of us have something that we do every morning that's exactly the same way. Is it productive? I don't know. Is it detrimental? I don't know. But is it the same thing repetitiously over and over and over again? I would say this, it's a habit. If you drink coffee every morning, do you really need coffee? Does it make or break your day or how far you'll get through your day? I doubt it. But because we develop habits of getting up at 6, put the filter in the coffee maker, put the coffee in, pushing the button, going to the restroom, getting prepared, getting ready, come back out, pour the cup, get a little heat in us, and move on. That's a habit, whether good or bad. But that habit will now start to form your character. Your character are the things that motivate you and how you respond to opposition, how you respond to just fellowship, how you respond to just relationship with others. And when we're not made up on the beliefs and the thoughts and the feelings of God, we give the room too much opportunity to give us options. And when you have a lot of options, you may just make the wrong choice. I'm here to tell you today that as we start to become provoked into our purpose, we have to have one option, and that's Christ. There's only one alternative, Christ. There's only one way I'm going to do this. I have to see Christ. But, you know, some will make a choice and say, well, it don't look bad. So I could use that to bring money into the ministry, but my ministry's not growing. Is that really good seed that you're getting? So all that to say is that we have to be careful, protective, and conscious to what we allow ourselves to be a part of. That's physically and spiritually, because he didn't say commit only your Christian ways to him. He didn't say only commit your children's stuff to him. He said commit all your ways to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. So as we start to build up our character, we have to change our habits. We have to change the way we've been doing things. Now, if you're a perfect Christian, and everything in your life is fine and dandy, and things are going great for you, and there's no problems, and there's no heartaches, then pray for us, because we're working on getting there. But if you're in a place right now that you are sick and tired, and you're ready to move on to a higher level of not expectations of God, but the expectations of self, then you're in the right place. If you're ready to take your business, no, let me back up. Thank you, Jesus. If you're ready to take your family, your business, and your relationship with others to another level, you're in the right place. But, you know, there's a formula for change. And as we go forth, I have to ask certain questions, because those that know me and my friends that spend time with me know that I'm no compromise. I don't second fiddle when it comes to God's word. If it's about going to dinner and about going to a movie, I may be a little lackadaisical on that. And I may overbook that, and I may overschedule that. When it comes to the things of God, I've made a choice because I need a change in my life. And see, change, you only recognize change after the pain of realizing that my current behavior can no longer be tolerated. That has to be a personal choice of you. You have to accept the fact that my personal behavior, and that means how I operate, how I treat others, how I sow my seed, how I fellowship, how I worship. If it's at a point of no more toleration, then now we are, it's time to change. And most of us get to that point of it having to be pain involved before we say, I got to do something about this. I can't do that no more. I got to move around. I got to change directions. But in Christ, when we commit all our ways to him, now the consciousness of Christ comes in us, and the awareness of his spirit will reveal to us it's time to change. That's where we're at today. We're at the point of saying, enough is enough. Not with the people around me, not with my church, not with anything other than me. Now, if you're on the same page with me and you're on board, I just ask you right now to just tap yourself on the shoulder, and that's your commitment. That is your personal commitment that it's time for me to work on me. And at all costs, there's nothing at that point of that connection and agreement that's my choice to change, because it's time for me to get what God wants me to be. It's time for me to have what God said I can have. Mm-hmm. It's time for me to have all, not just a little bit, but all of my heavenly blessings. And I'm ready for them right now. I'm ready to pull down my blessings from heaven, because the word of God says that as we pray that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His will is my will when I'm in relationship with him. Your will and his will become connected in one because you are now in relationship with him. So we have to start to form the way we do things. Amen? Now, we've done a study, and in this study, and I just want to throw this out there. You know, one of our listeners from last week contacted me and was really excited about all the teachings and everything, but she asked me a favor to slow down. Now, I get excited about this word, and I want you to get every bit of it, but I encourage anyone, if you missed a little bit, and even, no, thank you, Jesus. This is from the Holy Spirit. The tape that is on the website, everyone should get that tape and listen to it at least twice after our sessions on Friday, because there's a lot of information. And without a hands-on, tangible relationship and teaching and, in this provoke, there's a lot of stuff that may get missed or thrown in with another principle that when you listen to it later, the Lord will show you through your notes and through the word that has been given how it all comes together. But during our relationship on Provoke Fridays, I'm putting this out there, we are going to do a nationwide Provoke seminar somewhere. Where at, I have no idea, but we're going to do one. We're going to be in California next week doing a Provoke seminar in Ontario, California. That is a private session. That is a ministry that is bringing us in for private session. They want us just for their membership, their leadership, and we're excited about that. But we're going to do a nationwide Provoke, and I want everybody to look out for it and be excited for it. But until then, the information that goes forth comes from our curriculum. The information goes forth, and I get so excited about it that I may go a little too fast. If I do that to you, please get the tape later and let's listen to that at least twice so we can really get what God is saying to us. Now, we did a survey, and there are three types of people in our society. And we'll start with, the 3%ers. 3% of our community are what they call thinkers. 3% of our community, before they make any decisions, any choices, they think it out. They think it through perception, that they can think it in prayer. Then they can now feel, through seeing it on the inside, how to do it on the outside. So it's a process of hear it, see it, do it, win now. Hear it, see it, do it, win now. So that process continues. Thinkers, which are only 3% of our population, thinkers, those believers that trust God completely and allow their thinking to guide their beliefs, their feelings, and their thoughts of God, not man. Number two, they're called feelers. Feeler is a person that is led by their emotions. Feelers are those that are led by their senses. Feelers are led by only the things that are tangible. But guess what? Feelings and senses cannot be trusted. Say that with me. Not be trusted. Number three are what are called actors and doers. These people just go through life making choices without thinking about them, without filling them out, without even realizing that there's a consequence at the end. They do it just because because their actions lead them into everything they do. Then later, they'll think about how crazy they were, and then later they'll feel bad, and that's called depression. That's when it's called an implode. An implode is when something that is going in reverse motion, and instead of exploding out, it is imploding in. Thus, that's where depression comes from. That's where suicide comes from. That's where being crazy comes from, is not staying conscious and being led by the things of the world completely. But God has called us to be thinkers. God has called us to be conscious, committed, willing, able, ready Christians to do exactly what he said to do. When? Now. So as we look at how we can follow God through our habits that are formed by our characteristics, that we have to, number one, stay conscious. We have to be led only by God's word. So that's where we come into eliminating all options. There's only one option in this walk, and it has to be Christ. Now watch this. Now we're going to go back to the word, and I'm going to show you, as I share with you from day one, that the word of God is where this all comes from. The word of God has shown it, proved it, and it doesn't change. So I don't have to think that what I learned a year ago is different today, because it's the same as it was then. Now, in Matthew, in the 23rd chapter, beginning at the 25th verse, and we're going to go down to 28, Jesus is speaking, and if you have your Bibles open, you know it's written in red, so definitely Jesus coming straight from his lips. And he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, and the outside of them may be cleaned also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." He called them out again, see. "For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear to be beautiful on the outside of them, but may be also, appear to be beautiful on the outward, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and of lawlessness." See, Jesus was explaining there to us that it's more important to cleanse the inside. And then he says in verse 26, he didn't say cleanse the inside and then cleanse the outside. He said cleanse the inside first, and then the outside may also be clean. See, it's a process. For us to become or to get into our God-given purpose, we got to clean it up on the inside. We have to get the inside of us in order. We have to now see, and when we get order, now the spirit will now, instead of imploding from the outside in, but now it will explode from the inside out. That's Christ in me. That's me being able to do all the works of the spirit by having him what? dwell in me. But we have to get the inside of the cup clean. And I'm not talking about just shiny, and I'm not talking about just presentable. I'm saying that in this walk of regaining our birthrights, in this walk of finding our God-given purpose, we must clean the inside of our cup first. So now, through the explosion of the Spirit from the inside out, everything else will be just fine. Because as you clean the in, now the out will be also clean. Now, if that's not encouraging to you, you know what? I'll find something else for you later. But right now, that's enough to raise my hands and worship him. If I could just dedicate myself to dealing with me and my issues, everything's going to be fine. If I can start to deal with me and my bad habits, I may be able to change for the good and be a productive Christian. See, there's one way to do it, and there's another way to do it. But the only way that we'll be successful is through production. If you have one today and you start at 8 o'clock, and if you end at 5 o'clock with one, that's called no production. But if you start at 8 o'clock and you get home with six, that is fivefold production. You have just received for your hard labor five times your seed that you put in the beginning of the day. That's production. That's showing me that I can now put my time and effort into that because I see production. I don't see needing a helping hand every day, but I see production that now it's not a helping hand. It's just another willing body willing to step into the anointing of God and do what he said do. So as we go forward, we have to cleanse the inside. See, it doesn't matter what it doesn't matter what hat you wear, what cross you wear, what dress you wear, what shoes you wear, what kind of car you drive. It really doesn't matter. It matters on what's on the inside of you, because I would rather have Christ in me that you see Christ through me than for me to put just go get me a bunch of embroidered shirts that says I love Jesus. And now you trust that I love Jesus right there, but every time you need help, I don't answer my phone. And every time you need a ride, I'm not around. Or any time you need food, I can't help you get a burger. Because you only know me by my outside. But when we become provoked unto our purpose, we take on the responsibility of not looking like us, but looking like Christ. You know the word? Okay, and then so now Matthew showed us. Do what? Cleanse the inside. The next question may be, how do I cleanse the inside? Let's go to John 3:24, and we're taking this by steps, and I pray that my report later is that Pastor Hamilton, you did great. You slowed down a little bit. You gave me time to change pages, and we were able to get it. But in the 2 hours that we have, I'll be trying to cram as much as I can in there because I really have been encouraged to give you all that God would have us to have. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Amen. You know what? The Bible tells us it's in Matthew that we what? Cleanse the inside. Now, how do we cleanse the inside? You know, a lot of us look at the scripture in John, and I gave you a wrong scripture of John in 3:20. It wasn't John in 3:24, and I am trying to find out where that spot is. But without losing time there, the Bible tells us that as we, you know, we look at certain parts of the word, and I'm guilty of this too. The Bible tells us that if we abide in him, he will abide in us. But we forget the first part of it. The first part says, if you keep my commandments and abide in me, then I will abide in you. How do I keep his commandments? First of all, by cleansing my inside to now develop characters that are of him, not of me. Totally of him. Now, what is the character of God? Would be the next question. If I can cleanse my inside, and the only way I can do it is by having the character Jesus in me, now we have to develop what is the character of Christ. Now, looking through the Bible, I would say the characters have been defined. Now, this is the definition of character. Character has been defined as qualities of honesty, courage, integrity, long-suffering. See, character is something that builds up your inner man to be established by something greater than you. Character is now the way you live your life. Your character will form your responses. Your character will form your ways of doing things. Your character will form your mannerisms. Now, it has been established that it takes God's character only to cleanse the inside of me. That I have to have a character of Christ who is honest. I have to have a character of Christ who was courageous. I have to have a character of Christ who was confident. I have to have a character of Christ that was hopeful. I have to have a character of Christ that was faithful. I had to have a character of Christ who trusted in God as his source, totally as his source. Now, as we embrace his character, we understand that going through is a principle of life. That as we go through our daily walk, when we embrace, remember I said embracing and believing something as truth, we now embrace waking up in morning with the cross, because we're supposed to take up our cross daily and follow him. That's a character of Christ. Waking up with a mindset that this is not going to be a day without a cross. That's where we talk about eliminating options. When we eliminate options, we now don't have to worry about contemplating our choices, because we only have one choice. Who? Christ. And I know you may sit there and you may say, well, how can I do that, Pastor? I can't say Jesus at work. You know, when he's in you, it doesn't take a vocal screening to let him out. He's still in you. And a lot of us have to make that choice to embrace the truth that he's in me. When I embrace it as truth, it will now become truth. That's where the invisible can now become physical without you even seeing it on the outside. Because you see it where? On the inside. In your now. In the realm and in the place that God dwells with you, and where he sups with you and you sup with him. So, as we go, we understand that character. We understand the characters of Christ. We understand that to have him in us, we must receive his character, not on the outside, but where? On the inside. Here are seven steps that will help us get to God's character on the inside. Number one, we must know God personally. I can't know him through you. I can't know him through my parents. I can't know him through the pastor. I must know him personally if I want his character to become a part of me. No longer can I just go by the scripture that you quoted, but now I must investigate the word myself, because I want to know him personally. I want this relationship to be one-on-one. I want to utilize the blood in my life, because Christ shed his blood that I can now have a right to the what tree of life, who is God, who is my source, who is my everything. So as I know him personally, I am now starting to develop his character, because I didn't go by what you told me. Because if some people know this, you can hear a story on the east, and by the time it gets to the west side, it's the same story, but that story had changed a lot.
Yeah.
See, I'm ready to get the information from direct source. I'm ready to get my pouring of the Holy Spirit, not through others, but through him. So when I come with others who are anointed, who are powerful, who are called of God, and who know their purpose, then now we can fellowship and work together hand in hand without someone being over or under each other. Because we've developed the same character. Christ was Christ, but he never treated the disciples like they were his henchmen or his flunkies. He never treated them like they worked for him. No, he treated them because they were called. They were chosen. They were predestined to be in his life. But they knew him personally. Number two of developing godly characters. We must, secondly, love God passionately. Love God passionately. Now, I know probably all of us have been in love before. And I know we love that man or we love that woman passionately. I don't care what they wanted, how they needed it, and how they were going to get it. We love them so passionately that we would do whatever it took to make them happy. On the other hand, that's how we have to love God passionately. See, we love God because God does for us. But when you love God passionately, that's because you want to do for him. When you love God passionately, that means you make choices that please him, not you. When you love God passionately, you put yourself down and let him rise. Because no longer is it about us anymore. It's about who? It's about him.
Yeah.
So number two, we got to start loving God passionately. Not for what he can do for us, but just because of who he is. The Alpha, the Alpha, the Omega, the first, the last, the beginning, the end. That, I'm not going to name all the awesome names of Christ, of God. That's enough to love him passionately. Number three, once we know him personally, once we love him passionately, we have to start to talk with God constantly. Not just when you get your 4 o'clock in the morning prayer. Not just when you're doing your Bible study, but without ceasing. It says that we're supposed to pray without ceasing. What would make us think that we should talk to God without ceasing? See, if I talk to God all day, I won't worry about the conversations that aren't on him. I won't worry about the things that aren't about him, because I'm talking to him constantly, and he will direct my path. Because I'm in constant communication with him. I make no choices with him or without him. I mean, I make no choices unless I'm with him. Because if I'm without him, I'm no good. So I have to understand that God, when I develop his character, I talk to him daily. When you're driving your car, you should be talking to God. When you're writing your report for your job, you should be talking to God, because who's going to give you the best information? God. When you're dealing with your spouse or with your children, you better be talking to God, baby, because that's the only one that can heal that relationship. Because we tried it so many times on our own, and where did we end up? Right back where we started from. Number three, we got to talk to God constantly. But as you know, we know God personally, we love God passionately, we talk to him constantly. Number four is we have to start listening to God silently. See, we always got something to tell God. We always got a vision we got to confirm to him. Baby, we have to get in the mindset, we profess it all the time. It's already done. It's already done. It's finished. It's complete. But we still be trying to over-talk God over things that he's already done. Number four, we got to stop running our mouth so much. We got to start listening to God silently. You want a word from God? Close your mouth. You want to hear from the Lord? Be quiet. You want a new direction? Listen. And listen quietly. Oh, but I got so much I got to tell you. No. Peace, baby. Number four, listen to God silently. Number five. Now this is going to be one that I can stop at, and we can just teach on this forever. But number five, we are to worship God wholeheartedly. When you worship God wholeheartedly, that means you don't have any other idols. That means you don't have anything else you worship, because all your worship is wholly committed to him. I don't worship my husband. I don't worship my wife. I don't worship my children. I don't worship my Lexus. I don't worship my Bentley. Those are just things in my life that God is going to show me how to manage through loving him and listening to him and talking to him and worshiping him with my everything. See, we go to church with just enough worship to get through 11 service. When we worship God wholeheartedly, we get him all of us. When we worship God wholeheartedly, no one can distract us from the love of God. No one can separate us from the love of God, because we are now worshiping him wholeheartedly. Number six, baby, you got to stand. But you got to stand with God willingly. We got to stop standing just because the pastor said we're having a watch meeting and I need y'all to come. Because it says go by two and make disciples. When you stand with God willingly, you'll go anywhere because God told you to go. You don't need motivation. You don't need someone to have a vision, because he'll give you a vision. Because you'll not only be blessed, but you be blessed so you can bless somebody else. Because you take a stand. Here, let me give you an illustration. I take a stand on a lot of things. But the one thing everybody can tell you is that I don't need someone else to motivate me to take the stand. I have a relationship with God, strong relationship with God, where I hear him clearly, that I can hear him, see him, and do him, that I'm taking a stand just by taking a stand. I'm taking a stand. Hopefully you'll see it and maybe try to emulate it. But that's a willing spirit, is that I know I need to stand here, because if I don't, they're going to run over this place. Or I need to stand here and protect this woman of God, because these folks, they got the right intentions for her. But most of us wait around for someone to come and say, can you stand and watch for me? Can you stand and pray for me? Can you stand and intercede for me? See, willingness means that you are proactive and not reactive. See, proactive is being ahead of the game. Proactive means that you already got a set plan, that you're so attentive and so focused, you see it before it even comes. You ever heard of a person that say you could call it just like it is? See, that is a person who has been willing to stand without being asked to stand. Most people call me and say, Pastor, I need you to pray. Oh, girl, that's already done. Let's just touch and agree. It's finished. Oh, we need to talk. No, we don't, because I already took a stand on that. When we had our meeting yesterday, I knew that step A, B, C, and D needed to be prayed on. I'm already standing on that. That's willingness. So we have to take a stand with God willingly. We got to. It has to get to a point. Remember, we tapped ourselves on the shoulder and said, this is for me. This is my personal transformation. This is my personal provoke to purpose. Now I'm going to willingly take a stand. Not just for my child's education, but for God. And then everything else will follow when you take a stand for him willingly. And C, seventh, but not finally. We must celebrate Jesus at all times. There can't be a break. There can't be, I'm tired. There can't be, well, why now? There can't be, see, that eliminates options. When we eliminate options, and that's part of being provoked into purpose, is that we must eliminate other opportunities. We must eliminate other options that when we do something, we do it with all we have. So number seven, we must celebrate God unceasingly. We must have a worship and a praise on our lips, in our spirits at all times. That's where you say, well, how can I do it? He doesn't have done nothing for me right now. That goes back to last week, touchstones. That's where we now take touchstones that are remembrance of God's goodness, and those touchstones just don't become pillars or rocks. They become standards. They become medals. They become shiny stuff that we're proud to show off. Look what God did for me. When did he do it? Oh, this was 20 years ago. But I was still excited 20 years ago about what he did for me, because guess what? It's not about what he can do, but what he's already done. So now as I now develop my touchstones, my remembrance of his goodness, now my character will become one of knowing. Now watch. Remember, we talked about character will form our habits. So if I know God personally, now I can know you personally. If I can love God passionately, now I can love you passionately. If I can talk to God constantly, now I know how to talk to God, to you constantly, because I had to listen to him too. So I got to learn to listen to you. And as I listen, I have to begin to start. If I can learn to listen to God silently, I can listen to you without saying nothing. But how many can raise your hand right now? It's a battle to listen to someone talk to you without saying something, or without projecting your thoughts, or without projecting your way of doing it. See, when we listen, we put everything else aside and we listen. If I learn to worship God wholeheartedly, now I can lead you into worship, him, worshiping him in spirit and in truth. If I can stand with God, now I can take you and show you how to stand with God. And if you see celebration in my praise, believe me, you're going to want to celebrate your praise, because now we've developed a relationship of bonding through the Spirit of God, that now we can now identify each other's touchstones. Because they don't become a hidden remembrance, they become a shiny mantle that we carry around. And we polish them daily. And we worship them wholeheartedly and consistently and without unceasing. Because the same worship you gave him yesterday for the thing he did for you should be exhilarated even more today, because we worship him in spirit and in truth. So as we move and start to develop the characters of God, now you can now start changing some habits. You can take a habit of not so good and change that habit into good. But you can't do it without the standard of a character. And a character has to be built on what? The Word of God. And the Word of God is what? God. And God is spirit. And we must worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. So as we start to change, now is a step that we start to make goals. See, a lot of people will start off the process with a goal, but you still haven't gotten the principle down. And then when you don't meet your goal, you wonder why. See, goals were made to be obtainable. But most goals that we set are unachievable. Not because we don't have what it takes, it's just that we haven't done what it takes. You have all the gifts. You have all the everything is in you to do what God has called you to do. But it's not so much what you do, but how you do it. And in formulating our goals, they have to be built on the foundation of Christ. So now, when we build a goal, it's obtainable. When we sit down in a group meeting, and we had a team meeting today, and we were talking about goals, and we had to decide, you know, because everybody knows me, is I may be looking at one building, but I'm seeing another building, and I'm already talking like I'm in the new building. And I will jump in the spirit, and now my goal will seem obtainable to some people. But when you're in a team environment and you use your character to help influence the others, and theirs will influence you, now you make a common goal that will be obtainable. So now my spiritual goal, which I still know will come to pass, will now line up with the physical goal that says we must do step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And now we'll get to Pastor Hamilton's vision, and I can see it. But it has to be built off of strong character that comes from the habits that form our way of life. Now, when? It's not yesterday, family. It's not tomorrow. It's right now. This has to be done immediately. These principles must be followed. They must be followed when? Right now. See, most of our lives, you know, we live by standards that we have been brought up by. Most of us operate off of standards of lifestyle that we've had. Most of us are living our lives right now by the habit that has been formed in you. Wow, is that deep? Is that powerful? Well, see, today is where we're at. We want to develop a character that will help us change our habits from good or not so good to good. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Did you know that habits form lifetime deformities? It either forms or destroys your standards and your goals, and it will not allow success because of habit. Did you know that habits turn our actions into attributes, and then our attributes will be now formed as our lifestyles? Did you know that our habits are molded by our character? We already talked about that. And then our character will allow our actions and our decisions to be made godly. Did you know this? Did you know that habits are intellectual? They form our spiritual, they form our physical, they form our personal relationships. Why do I keep getting divorced? Because your habit way of marriage is not in line. So when you get married again, that same habit will end your marriage. Because you've done it. Now listen. Not that you're a bad person. I told someone this the other day. We said, man, that guy over there, he's a thief. But he never goes to jail. Then this other guy over here, he goes to jail and he gets out crying because he stole one time. Now, would you say, if you allow someone, let's go back to our children. If you allow your children to do something over and over, now the first day you told your child, don't do this. Don't pick up this flyer. This flyer, I wanted to sit on this table just like this every day. Don't touch it. Yes, mommy. Yes, daddy. They walk away. Tomorrow they come back, just got through playing, and they forgot the instructions from the day before. And they grabbed the flyer. They moved it left to right, upside down, and all the way around. Well, because we're unconscious, we don't hold them accountable to our first instructions, and they move the card. For 364 days, now the first day, we gave instruction. For 364 days, we went unconscious and allowed that to happen. On day 367, she comes in. She grabs a flyer. I notice it, and I berserk to go off on her. I'm ready to whoop her butt. I'm ready to put her on punishment and everything else because she just broke the law of moving that flyer. Who's right and who's wrong? I would have to attest that the young lady is not wrong at all because I allowed her to continue to do what she does. And then when I catch her after my unconsciousness and hold her accountable, I can't expect her to be wrong. Or better yet, she will fight me tooth and nail because she would fight me on her ability to say she's right because I've let her do it over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
See, we blame people for doing wrong things, but what has that person really been trained to do? I can't blame that guy for stealing every day when that's all he knows to do. I can't say he's wrong or he's bad or he's not acceptable. He just hasn't been trained the right way. So we have to now say, you know what? Our habits must be changed for the better good of God. My habits have to be changed so now I can really live the character of God. See, whether good or bad, we still going to have a habit. Why not change it for the best? I mean, whether good or bad, you're going to still do some things a certain way. That's a habit. Why not do it for God? Why not start to say enough is enough? I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Oh, and this is just a free one. Actually, enough is enough and sick and tired should be over by next week. But if we're still in that enough is enough and sick and tired mode, now we say we are going to make a conscious choice. We patted ourselves on the shoulder. And we said, we are going to take the first step. And that is just the first step of many that he'll take for us. That is where we draw the line, family. That is where we draw the line and say, you know what? I love you, appreciate you, but I have to do what God has told me to do. And I want his power in my life. I want to develop my relationship with him that is no longer what he can do for me, but what can I do more to please him. It changes from possessions to being possessed. It changes from physical to now spiritual. It changes now from relying on what the world can do, which will fail you, to now what God has done, which will never forsake you. Enough is enough. Sick and tired of being sick and tired. Let me stand on his word. Let me really stand on the word that therefore no longer do I live according to the flesh. No longer do I live according to how my friends do it. No longer do I live according to the things of this world. But me, I choose to make this personal because I want what God has for my life. And I also want to do what he called for my life. There's a calling for all of us. There's a mission and a ministry for all of us. But are we ready? Well, first of all, are we willing, ready, and available to do what God said do? When? Now. So, change the way we think. Form our beliefs, our thoughts, and our feelings. That now they can now become part of our spirit. That now, if somebody steps in, you know, while you have the Spirit of God, I don't care if they kick you, pinch you, or whatever. You won't curse. That'll be the last thing. Now don't get me wrong. The subconscious mind is going to challenge you to use that word, but your conscious mind says, no, baby, we don't go there no more. And then your choice realm in your speech, the words that you speak will now be led by your conscious mind and not your subconscious mind. So now, your first thought was to think back to the old, but that's where we put the past behind us and we look up to the mark of the high calling, which is who? Christ. See, look at this thing. It seems like it always ends back up to Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, is it just me, or am I noticing that everything we're talking about ends up right back to the cross?
Okay.
Everything that we are talking about ends up right back to relationship with God.
Yeah.
Less of me, more of you. That's a song. I love it. I need your glory. But that one phrase should be a worldwide cry daily by us, a prayer to him. Less of me, more of you. Oh, no, Lord, I need a car. I need a door. I need this. I need this. I need this. You know what? If it's less of me and more of him, I'm going to get everything he wants me to have. There's nothing that will not be mine that God says I shall have if I will decrease and let him increase. And more of you. Week one, about changing our thinking. Last week, God threw a special one in there for us, and we talked about trusting him. Now, this week, we're talking about what? Our character, which our character forms our habits, and our habits form our lifestyles. Now, so that little formula right there should show you. My lifestyle is this. That's how I got here. It got here through my habits that were formed by my character. So let me stop blaming my lifestyle on the world, but let me start blaming my lifestyle on my habits and on my character. Let me stop blaming the devil. Let me stop giving I charge everybody on this one today. Let's stop giving the devil any credit. The devil didn't make you do it, baby. The devil didn't make you, he didn't force you to do anything. He just presented you with a choice. But when you become provoked, you eliminate choices, and then when the choices come to pass, you look right by them because there are no choices. It's only Christ. There are no options. It's only Christ. So when we stop giving the enemy credit, that means that we stand on the word of God. When we stop giving the enemy credit, we stop giving him the credit to say, that's just an excuse to me, but the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. He just presented you with another option.
Mm-hmm.
And if you eliminate options, you can eliminate the devil. Don't tell me you can't live sinless. I hear it all the time. Oh, no, we fall, but we get right back up again. Well, that's fine and dandy. And I love the grace part of that. And I love the favor of that. But guess what? Aren't you sick and tired of getting up?
Ooh.
Aren't you tired of being tired of getting up or having someone have to pray you out? Why not live victorious daily?
Ooh.
Why not allow provoke to push us into our purpose, which was called by God before the foundation of the world? He knew your name. He knew your position. He knew your calling. He knew your anointing. He knew your ministry. He knew your success. But because we involve so many other things, that the things that were predestined by God get put on a back burner because God ain't going to bring his blessings into no mess. So we have to start making conscious choices with it right now. Right now. You got to make a choice to stay focused. You got to make a choice to sit on the edge of your chair. You have to make a choice to write down and take notes. You have to make a choice to worship him at all times.
Ooh.
And we talked about this last week. There's only two choices, life and death.
Ooh.
There's no middle. So in the choice realm, when we choose in life, we're choosing Christ. When we choose everything else, it's death. Eliminate options. Eliminate choices. And start to develop all options being Christ-led. Now you're developing the character of Christ. Now you're regaining your birthright. You remember the story about Adam and Eve? Well, no, let's go before Eve. Let's go back to the beginning. You know the story of Adam when they say he walked, he talked, he fellowshipped, he related with Christ, with God, one-on-one. If God said it, what did he do? He did it. Adam, I want you to go name all those animals. He didn't say how, why, what. He just moved, when, now, and he did what God told him to do. Now, God is a busy God, and he brought a helpmate along and all those things. But when the enemy came, he didn't come to destroy the marriage between Adam and Eve. He came to destroy the relationship between Adam and Eve and God because it resembled the relationship he had with him.
Mm-hmm.
See, don't get it twisted. The devil was one of the most exonerated worshipers in heaven.
Yeah.
He was the key musician. He was over all of the music ministry. That's why he had other angels under him. And just like we think we can get away with it, he thought he could get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
But when realization came that he was being expelled from heaven, only thing that happened to him was jealousy. The only thing that he could consume his with is that how could he have a relationship with those mortals? That was a pet project for him. And I know this ain't in the Bible. This is a little Pastor E drama class. But you know, how could he relate with those physical beings? They're not like us. They don't look as beautiful as us. They don't have the abilities that we had in heaven. And he was jealous of the relationship. So his whole motive was to destroy that relationship that had already been exemplified through Adam in walking and talking and relating with God one-on-one. He come to rob, to kill, and destroy what? Your birthright, your ability to trust God, your ability to follow him when he says follow, to go when he says go, to do what he says do, to listen when he says listen, to speak when he says speak. That is the birthrights that Adam had that we have to take back by developing a godly character that will form godly habits, that will develop life, godly lifestyles. Now, you can go to church all you want to, but if your lifestyle does not emulate Christ, you got a problem. If everything you do does not emulate Christ, baby, you got to change your system. If there's something that does not look like God in your life, you better get rid of it. God is ready to bless you. God is ready to restore you. Everything you ever had in life, God has on a mantle, ready to fall back into your life and restore all you lost, all you gave up, all the hurt, all the pain. But if you do not get in line with him in the now, those things will just continue to hover over your life, and you'll never receive them.
Okay.
He is ready. He is willing. He is available. And most of all, he is capable to do it. But through these systems, we can now open up the windows of heaven, that his blessings will come and overtake us. Yes, you got a 5 cent raise last week. If it was meant to be 500. Oh, yes, you got a promotion where you got 4 more hours a week than you did last week. But that was really, you were supposed to become the operations manager. You were supposed to, there's a church with your name on it, but you're still over here because you have not obediently followed God and he hasn't opened that door. But guess what? Here's the good news. Now, this is the good news. It can happen right now. The choice is yours. The decision is yours. When you continue to fellowship on our Friday fellowship and continue to build your relationship with him Monday through Sunday, 2 weeks a year, 365 days a year, when you start to develop that ongoing, unceasing, continual relationship, you will see God's move in your life immediately. Not next week, not next year, but immediately. So So I want to encourage you. Step up. Step your game up. I want to encourage you that it won't hurt you to say no. But to Jesus. It will not hurt you to refuse to do what you've been doing just to please somebody else. God will protect you. God will provide for you. And God will instill in you the way and what and how to say and when and where to say it at. But it's going to take a choice. And that's you. That's me. That's her. That's him. I know, you know, I am ready to see the glory of God in your life. I'm ready to see the glory of God move through every state in the United States in oneness. But it's got to start somewhere. Why not start with us? Why not us finally say, I can accept just being the man of God along with a bunch of other men of God. Or I'm willing to accept just being the woman of God that's along with a bunch of other women of God, that we can come together as women or men of God and do some work for who? God. Enough is enough of trying to be in control. Enough is enough of trying to be the big ball of shot caller on top. God is calling for a team. God is calling for a team of unity. God is calling for a team of accountability. That not only can you check me, but I can check you. And not be mad about it, baby. You know, there's been some time the Lord put something on your heart and you went and shared it with you and then you lost a friend.
That's God.
You know, God did put something on your heart to tell someone to slow down or to stop or to move around, and you got criticized and ridiculed for it. That wasn't God. It was God in you, but it wasn't God on the other side. That's where building godly character that will form godly habits, that will now develop godly lifestyles, now people will accept what you have to say. Now they won't ever even be able to not hear what you have to say because of your obedience and because of your diligence to Christ and your willingness to find your purpose in Him. See, I mean, you could come here and interview if you just looking for something to do. You could come here interview and I can assign you a piece of my purpose, but that wouldn't fulfill you. But you can choose today to find your own purpose, to now accept the fact of the principles and let them incite you, motivate you, and lead you in the right direction. Now, things starting next week are going to get a little bit more intense. We're going to start talking about the steps, and we're going to start the step at the beginning, and all the little overview we've done for the last 3 weeks is going to get a little bit more structured, so we can really begin to follow these 7 steps and accept our purpose in Christ. And then watch Him move in your life in an awesome way. Heavenly Father God, we thank You today, Lord, and we just pray right now. Lord, Your word will touch the lives of those that have received it immediately. But not only our lives, but Lord, give us the power to touch others' lives. Lord, let's open up the floodgates. And if this teaching that You are sending through us out to the waves is being productive, Lord, let us offer it to others. Let's not be stingy, and let's get others involved that may need the same thing that You needed 2 weeks ago. So, Heavenly Father God, we thank You. We praise You. We lift up Evangelist Adrian right now, Lord. We pray for her enrichment, Lord. We pray for her healing. Lord, we pray for her restoration, that as she continues to pour out of her cup into us, that, Lord, You will fill that cup back up. That, Lord, as she continues to pour out to the community, that, Lord, You will replenish her, Heavenly Father God, through her finances, through her energy, through her through everything she's doing. Lord, we ask for a 100-fold increase to come into her life right now. We pray, Lord, that the next person that speaks to her, that they will stand in agreement and in obedience and do what you told them to do 6 months ago. In Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for faithful Spate that has been faithful to all these ministries in helping us to grow and in helping us to expand. We thank you for her right now, Lord, and we just lift her up, Lord, that as she continue to work plenty of hours for you, Lord, that you just continue to bless her socks off and encourage her in every way. And then for everyone that is in our Provoke team right now, Lord Jesus, I just pray a perfect peace. That your ministry and your protective angels just go right now, be dispersed into their households right now, Lord, into their communities, Heavenly Father God, and a perfect peace will come on them. Because, Lord, we know that when we make a choice to change, our flesh will fight us, and we'll start to feel nervous. We'll start to feel jittery. We'll start to feel uneasy. Lord, I pray right now that your perfect peace just abound through everyone that is in our systems right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, and most of all, we worship you in spirit and in truth, and we praise you in your son Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We bless you today, God. Thank you, Pastor.
Hallelujah. Jesus.
Hallelujah. We thank you for... Oh, God, I'm full right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank
you, God. We bless you. We give you glory. Thank you.
Yes, Lord. 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 If anyone saw the flyer that I posted on my page, I did say we were going to be talking about the power of words. But I got back in order and finished up from the week before. So we're back on schedule. Next week we'll be talking about the power of words and how they influence our decisions, our circumstances, and our relationships.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Power of words. Amen. Amen. We're going to open up the line for any questions or maybe a comment. I'll go to Evangelist Phillips. God bless you, Evangelist Phillips. Amen. Amen. Line's a little slow opening up. That's Blog Talk, not me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory, God. Trying to open up, so let me see if it'll open up anybody else that's on here, sister. Oh, no. This is one of those days.
Well, we find any attacks right now in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we bless you today, God. We thank you right now, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah. Yeah, the lines are not opening up, but God knows our heart. Amen. We bless the Lord for Pastor Hamilton and thank God for those awesome words to encourage us about character. Amen. Character. Hallelujah. Character, character, character.
Character, yes.
Getting to know God personally. I mean, I write pretty fast. And you did do good today. I was able to write, but I'm able to go back and listen in the archives also to these messages. So I tell you, if you have availability of a computer and you can go into the archives, this message is available in its entirety, and you can go to today's date. And you can listen to this. Sometimes we miss things, even after we're writing and we're listening. Sometimes it may be something in there that you just missed, and you wrote half of it, and you didn't have the other half. Well, you can go back into the archives and listen to these messages again. I tell you, all you have to do is go to blocktalkradio.com. And search for New Destiny Ministries and scroll down to today's date, which is the 22nd of March, and you can listen to this message again. Again, we thank Pastor Hamilton. We still have about 13 callers on the line. We certainly, I sent out a mass text and asked you all to invite someone. Tell somebody about these Provoke Fridays. I know every one of us knows somebody that can be encouraged by listening to these this series on Provoke Fridays every Friday. And it's a sacrifice when you give of your time. And you want to do it where others will be blessed. Amen. So with the lines are opening, Evangelist Phillips, the wheel is just spinning, but I don't see the little red mark that tells you that the line is open for our listeners to be unmuted. So anyway, I don't know what's going on. You know, we have no control. Anything that's man-made, you can expect it to malfunction at any time. But we just like to thank God for Evangelist Cummins on the line, Sister Kim. We see Sister Barbara Williams. We see Sister Patrice, Evangelist Sharon Phillips out of Oakland. That's one of your homegirls. You know, Pastor Hamilton is from California, Southern area. Amen. We see Sister T. She's in Oakland, California. We also see a call out of area code, have been with us before, area code 713. And maybe somebody from Pastor Hamilton's ministry. The last four of your number is 0242. We see Sister Carla, Sister Aisha, Sister Dawn. We saw Sister Ruby also on the line, and Evangelist Priscilla was on the line, and also Sister Pam out of Memphis, Tennessee. But we're not able to, the lines are not opening up today, so God bless you all. We'd like to also invite you to tune in tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and at 7 o'clock a.m. Central Time, and 8 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time for They Overcame with our host, Minister Billy Burns. He is a pastor that will be on tomorrow giving a beautiful testimony. So make the sacrifice and tune in on Saturday morning. And on Sunday morning, we have 30 minutes of early Sunday morning prayer, this coffee prayer for about 30 minutes before we go to our respective houses of worship. So we just thank God for all of you all, and thank God for, again, Pastor Hamilton, and we're going to let him close us on out. The lines aren't opening, so I can't open up anyone's line. Amen. So we're going to let Pastor Hamilton, I'm sure everyone was enriched with those seven keys of embracing this truth and even having putting on the character of Christ Jesus. So we thank him. So we're going to go back to our life coach right now, Pastor E. God bless you.
Amen, yes. Amen, amen. Well, family, I am excited. I just pray blessings on you on this as we go forward this week. Keep me up in prayer. Tomorrow morning I am auditioning at Sunday's Best, so I need your prayers there. Then Saturday afternoon I'm in a stage play here in Houston called For Better For Worse. Then next week I'll be traveling to California, so keep me in prayer there, and I will be doing the Provoke for Fridays from California next Friday. And I just want to say that God is good. He's moving awesomely, and I'm here to attest that if you will do what God says do, there is no doubt that he won't do for you. So
amen.
Heavenly Father God,
we're auditioning for at Sunday's Best.
Tomorrow will be the audition, and then they'll make the choices on who made it. This is the audition for all of Texas. So it's going to be a lot of people out there, and that's where I need prayer at, family, because I hate lines.
Oh.
And I need
so
people to stay.
You're auditioning as a psalmist, or you're auditioning as a psalmist?
I'm actually gonna audition as a singer, yes. I'm going to sing I Need Your Glory by Ernest Pugh.
Oh, wow. Well, y'all heard that. We want you all to be praying for Pastor Hamilton. He has a beautiful voice. You can give us a little preview before we close out. You can close out with that.
Okay, yeah. It's okay. All right, you got me on now. I should have. Okay. So Got you. And then I'll be in California for a week. And then God has just been opening multiple doors for us here. And I just want all in agreement just to keep praying for us as we'll continue to pray for you. And we do need his glory.
Amen.
But not needing his glory. The word says, I want your glory. Less of me and more of you. And then you got to step the word up and start to proclaim, show me your glory. Show me your power. And then remembering our personal prayer as being less of me and more of you. I need your glory. Wow. I want your glory. Less of me and more of you is the word I need. Show me your glory.
Ooh.
Show me your power. Less of me and more of you is the word I need. So many times I tried my way, neglecting your love, your warmth and grace. I realize I need you more and more each day.
Woo.
So I'm going to give them that tomorrow. Y'all be praying with me.
And
the one thing I tell my kids this is that I'm not going to perform. I'm going to worship.
Okay.
And I'm believing that God in the midst of that will open up a door and we'll start to see some mighty things happen. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Well, I certainly. Now, that's tomorrow morning?
Yeah, that's from 7 to noon is the audition. So I'll be there from 7 to noon, and then I'll be doing a play from 7 to 9 tomorrow night.
All right. Well, we're going to keep you in our prayers, and we'd like to just say a prayer for you right now. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, all of those beautiful open doors that you have presented for Pastor Hamilton, God, we ask you to be with him, God. We ask your blood to cover him, Lord God. We ask you to give him favor, because you already stated in your word that you would give us favor and you would bring us before kings, under the Mosiah. And we trust in you, Lord God, for those doors that you open, God, that he would go in and that he would be blessed to just worship you and give you the glory and give you the praise that you're so deserving of. Lord, you have a mighty anointing on his life. And we thank you for that door. Hallelujah. Even when he traveled here to California, Lord God, he's coming for us to Ontario, Lord God. But we're asking you to open up some doors where he can travel in this area while he's here for a week or 2 weeks or however many weeks he'll be here, Lord God. And even in the place that he's going to be in on tomorrow evening, God, we ask you to bless him in that, God.
Thank
bless
Jesus.
All of his works and all of his efforts, God, and everything that he is teaching us today, Lord God. We ask you to replenish. We ask you to pour back into this vessel, Lord God. Everything that he poured out, pour back into him, God. Not 30, not 60-fold, but 100-fold, Lord God. Bless his going out and his coming in. Bless his ministry, Lord God. And bless him as he continues to teach. Hallelujah. All of these provoke the purpose of meetings, Lord God, and that nationwide seminar that he have already said is in the making, Lord God. Let it be manifested in this season, Lord God, not many days since, Lord God. And we thank you for him, God, and we appreciate the goodness, hallelujah, that's on his life. We appreciate, Lord, the anointing that's on his life, Lord God, and we appreciate godliness that's in this man of God. We thank you, we praise you, and we give you glory forever, oh God. God bless you. Certainly we apologize for these lines. Again, we don't have no control over the lines, but we want you to know that we thank God for each and every one of you all that have tuned in today, and I pray that everyone have a Jesus and a blessed weekend. Amen. And we're going to close out with I Need Your Glory. God bless you all. Have a Jesus weekend. Ah, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Conjure the most high God. Bless your name. Well, if the line's not opening, I guess the music is not going to play either. Hey, glory to God. Nothing is playing. The music or the line's open. So anyway, God bless you all. Have a beautiful weekend. We love you with the love of God. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Hamilton. We're going to be praying for you. Amen. Nothing is whole switchboard. Won't even shut down, won't play, won't do anything. Ah, oh, God, I bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless your name, Jesus. We thank you, Lord God. We bless you, Lord Jesus. We give you glory today, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you. Hallelujah. We lift you up today, God. We give you glory and we give you praise, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy, God. Oh, you're worthy, God. You are worthy, God. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your name, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your name, God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, God. Yes, God. It's only because of you, God. We lift up our voices today, God. Oh, for you are great, God. And you're greatly to be praised, God. Oh, Jesus, there's none like you. None like you, Jesus. None like you, God. Bless your name, God. We give you glory today, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, God. Yes, yes, God. Yes, Lord. Blessings in your name, Jesus. Yes, God. Oh, we love you today, Jesus. We love you, Lord God. We love you, Jesus. Oh, there's none like you, God. Ah, you are the you're the first and the last. Ah, you're the beginning and the end, God. And we lift you up, Jesus. We lift you up, God. We lift you up, Jesus. We lift you up, God. Oh, we give you glory today, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Oh, everything that we are, Lord God, is because of you, Jesus. It's because of you, Lord God. Yes, we have to tell him yes today, God. Yes, Lord God. Oh, yes, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Oh, how can we say yes, Lord? How can we say yes, Lord? How can we say Jesus? Oh, teach us, Lord. Teach us how to keep you ever before us, God. Teach us how to do you ever to do, God. Oh, we bless you today, God. We bless you today, Jesus. Oh, we bless you, God. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your name, God. Glory to your name, Jesus. Glory to your name, God. Oh, we love you today, Jesus. Yes, Lord God. Hallelujah. Remember those. Vanilla knows, Lord God, that want to be doing what you would have them to do, God. Oh, Jesus, we have no other. No other help to we know, God. You are our helper. You are the fence, God. And we thank you for it today, God. Yes, Jesus. Keep us near the cross, God. Keep us forever near your cross, God. Keep us near, God. Keep us near, God. Oh, we bless you today, God. Thank you for Patriot Grand, God. Thank you for faith that works, God. Thank you. God, I bless you, Jesus. Thank you.